You're listening to BBC Radio Cornwall with me, Emma Lloyd. I'm delighted to welcome into the studio this afternoon author Chrissy Loveday. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Where do you live in Cornwall exactly?
I live in Porthtown.
In Porthtown.
On top of the cliffs overlooking the sea. Oh, aren't I lucky?
You are, and very inspirational to a writer, I would imagine.
Oh, very much so, yes.
Now,
yes.
You've written books that you've set in Cornwall before, haven't
you? Yes, quite a number of locally set ones. People sort of try and identify where they are, and they say, well, it's not quite like that. And I say, well, I don't call it that place. I sort of alter it slightly. I actually wrote one and went to America and did a little promotion there, and someone came up to me and said, oh gee, that's just such a wonderful hotel, where is it? I have to stay there. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but it's in my imagination.
Yes,
so.
But there are pretty good places that are almost as
fantastic.
Good.
Yes. Yes.
This new book of yours, Rough Clay, tell me a little bit about it. It's not set in Cornwall, although it has quite strong Cornish links, doesn't it?
That's right, yes. It's sort of loosely based on the life of my father, who was a miner's son. I'll tell you the Cornish connection first. It's actually called Rough Clay, and I know that my dad used to use clay from St Austell, yes. So that's my little Cornish link. But there are an awful lot of people from the Potteries who live in Cornwall anyway. I've met loads of folks, so I think it's a book that will be of interest to anyone who is interested in China.
Mm.
I mean, China, the substance rather than the country.
Yes.
My dad was a miner's son in the Potteries, sort of just in about 19 something or other. He was born early 1900s. And he was due to go down the mines. His dad had sort of found him a job, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to make china, and nobody could quite understand why, but he said life was grey and drab and dull, and he wanted to make something beautiful that anyone could afford to buy.
Hmm.
And so he took on an apprenticeship with a pottery company, and eventually he rose through the ranks and obviously showed some sort of creative talent, and then decided to go it alone. Now, this is really about the time I came on the scene as a knowing person. I think I was about 8 years old, and they announced to me that Dad was having his own factory, and of course I was sort of, you know, typical kid saying, oh yeah, what's he going to make then?
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And yes, he started making things, and the very first thing he made was a little tiny lady with a crinoline dress who was about 4 inches high.
Mm.
And he said, what do you think we should call her? And I said, could we call her Chrissy?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, of course. So that was the first little lady, and that was named after me.
Mm.
And obviously things went on. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, because I hope people are going to buy the book and read it for themselves. But that was the start of it all. Now, obviously, because I wasn't around for an awful lot of my dad's life, I had to make up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And once I'd started writing, I actually met a few people who I put a few sort of letters in papers and magazines and things, and had people contact me and say, oh yes, I knew your dad, or I used to work for him. Of course, I was sort of over the moon, because it had been years and years and years since I'd had any contact with anyone from that part. My dad died, unfortunately, when he was only just about 50, 51, something like that. So he didn't have a very long life. So as I say, I missed a lot of it and made it up. So I decided that it wasn't going to be a biography. It was going to be a novel.
Mm.
And that's what it is.
It must be so interesting. When you were talking about getting letters from people about your father, I sort of think back to the Who Do You Think You Are programmes on the BBC, when people were discovering their roots, finding out about relatives of theirs, things that they didn't know. That must have been just thrilling to get those letters.
It was thrilling. And what was really, really nice was people who sort of said, oh, yes, I knew your father well. He was a lovely man. One person said to me, he was a big man in every way. He had a very big heart, and he was a big man too.
Yeah.
And that was just so nice to hear.
Yeah, how successful was he then? He had his own factory in those days. That must have been pretty big stuff.
It was quite big stuff, but by the time he was getting big, I was sort of full of teenage angst and was much more interested in whether I was going to meet my boyfriend on the way home from school or whatever. But he really rocketed around the time of the coronation. On the front of the book, there's a picture of one of the coronation mugs he made. He actually designed it, and he and the mould maker worked on it together and actually produced this mug. And it, I mean, there were hundreds of coronation mugs made, but this one was very special with a little gilded lion as a handle. And that one, actually, there were thousands made of them.
Yes.
And they are around still. I think, actually, can I tell you a little bit about how I started on this
story?
Please
do, yes. Yeah,
because of family problems, my collection of my dad's china was completely lost to me. And one day, my husband started asking me questions about it, and I thought, strange. And he suddenly produced one of Dad's figurines. And of course, I hadn't seen it for about 30, 35 years. And I sat and cried.
Yeah.
And I felt this, every little fold of this figurine. It was just absolutely superb to see it again. And he then said, well, I got it from the internet. And it was a bit new to me then. I didn't know much about it. And from that time onwards, I started collecting in a big way.
Yeah.
And my aim is to get one of every piece he ever made. And I think I've got about 150-something pieces at the last count.
Goodness.
Many duplicates.
Yeah.
But my kids all saw this. And of course, he died before they were born, and they knew very little about him. And they started saying, well, tell us about him. So I started talking. And they said, well, you're a writer, for goodness sake. Why aren't you writing all this down? So I said, yeah, that's true. I should do it. And it's one of the most difficult books I've ever written, because I was trying to write it about my dad and not me. And as the author, my voice kept poking in and trying to answer it, and I had to keep crossing bits out. But computers allow you to do that, don't they?
They do, and it's done. What was your father's name then?
Well, he was actually called Arthur Bowker.
Right.
And all his pottery has his stamp on the bottom, so if you think it looks very like Royal Doulton, actually, it's a similar sort of quality.
Yeah.
But it always says Arthur Bowker, fine bone china, or Staffordshire fine bone china of Arthur Bowker.
I can hear the clink of people listening, running to pots and little figurines and just turning them upside down just to have a look.
It would be great if they did find any and let me know.
Yes, I mean, maybe we can put you in touch with people if there's things. Is there one piece then that you are really after?
There really, really is, because once Dad came home and said, we're going to make a set of Alice in Wonderland characters.
Oh, wow.
And he said, we want you to be the model for Alice.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean,
thrilled.
Every little girl wants to be a model for something or other. So I sat on the end of a desk and I watched this woman sort of sculpting away and drawing and all the rest of it. And eventually this little figure came out, and I wasn't sitting on a desk, I was sitting on a mushroom.
Oh.
And it looked like me. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
The only thing was, I was a bit disappointed. They insisted on me keeping my hair in pigtails, because at that time it was a contemporary Alice, not the Alice with the Alice band and the loose hair.
Yes.
But I haven't got one. I've not got an Alice at all, so one day.
Yes, well, if anyone listening has got one, Alice in Wonderland sat on a mushroom and she's got pigtails, then please get in touch with us and we'll put you in touch with Chrissy. So Rough Clay, what a fascinating story. On its own, but for you personally to write must have been
Absolutely.
Quite a journey.
Oh, it was a journey, and there were many times I sat and sobbed, and my husband came in and sort of said, what's wrong? And I said, I've just discovered something about my grandfather. I actually discovered he was killed in a mining disaster, which I didn't know before.
Right.
And I went up to the potteries and had a look and discovered this little bit in the library, in the archives, and there I was. And the weirdest thing of all was seeing the archives in a local paper with a description of his funeral, and I was there, and I was sort of 18 months old, something like that.
Goodness.
That was, and I sat and sobbed there as well. I'm quite an emotional person, really.
Well, you're a creative woman, Chrissy, but that's extraordinary, isn't it, when you do go on that sort of journey. Lots of people who I've interviewed in the past when we've talked about family trees and researching from that point of view, the records that are there and accessible are so detailed sometimes, aren't they?
That's right.
That you just, your heartstrings and your gut just react to them.
Yes, yes. I mean, some of it is fiction, obviously, because, as I say, I didn't know it all. But strangely enough, some of the things that I'd invented have turned out to be true, and I have met people who've told me little snippets here and there. But, you know, I think my dad would have been so thrilled that I'd actually taken this trouble, and I don't want him to be forgotten.
No.
If anyone wants to see him, I'm allowed to talk about the website.
Of course, yeah.
Yes, there is a website. The book is called Rough Clay. I'm Chrissy Loveday. The website is www.rough-clay.com.
Okay, that's lovely. Well, we have a copy to give away in just a few moments. It's set in Staffordshire in the Potteries, but using St Austell clay, so we don't mind that. Chrissy, it's been lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for letting me come.
So if you would like to win a copy of Chrissy Loveday's book, Rough Clay, just tell me, when she was talking about her father, who created little figurines, as she referred to one particular little girl, a figure of a little girl that she posed for, a famous fictional character. Can you name that fictional character for me if you can? 01872 222 222, and you could get into the draw to win yourself a copy of Rough Clay. My thanks to Chrissy Loveday. What a fascinating guest. So give us a call about 5 minutes on this competition, because her time is galloping on. Well done to Rose in Newquay. She has won the copy of Rough Clay. The answer was Alice in Wonderland.